This morning I want to speak about building a house of prayer. Building a house of prayer. As I prayed about this, and maybe you think, oh, well, we weren't really coming to a prayer meeting today, sorry. But we're going to create that space where we talk to God and we know he talked to us. In this season, I believe that we're in a very complex season. How many would agree with me? Financially, complex. Politically, complex. Socially, missionally, complex. Globally, complex. Would you agree? And we're having all sorts of conversations that, quite honestly, we wouldn't even know we would need to have. Social media, complex. Church life, leadership, planning, structures, complex. Nothing feels really secure. And if you are courageous enough to admit it, myself included, heaven help us. How do we lead? Anyone feel like that? In the marketplace, business place. I was talking to someone in Oxford. We live in Oxford, England. And he's run a business for over 35 years. He said, Rachel, it's the most complex season for hiring and firing and getting people and training. And you always feel like you're being, not quite getting it right. How many would agree? So I'm not just talking church when I talk leaders. I mean anyone with responsibility in any sphere of life. How many of you would say, yes, Rachel, complex? But I also believe we're at a tipping point in history. Because in complexity is always a door of opportunity, especially for the church, if it will be courageous. And you see, the basic foundation of the Christian faith is courageous insanity or faith. Isn't it? It's launch out into the deep. Go where no man's been before. Do things that God tells you. Make impossible things become possible. What is that? Courageous insanity. But it's faith. And it comes not because we had a bright idea. It comes because we received a God idea. Where? Faith comes by hearing the... Where do we hear the word? Prayer place. And I believe if in this season we don't really stop, bow down, a lot of things are going to get out of whack. So it's a tipping point in history. Four words have been resonating in my scripture. I'm going to try and do this quickly because I want to give time to do it, not just speak it. Four words, preparation. This is a time where God is individually preparing us, but also corporately preparing us. It's a time to remove negative thoughts and limitations. It's a time to make space for the new. Preparation. Number two, consecration. It's a time where we need to... Sorry, Helen, I added these, so the PowerPoint is not wrong, it's me. The second one is consecration, the second word. Because, you see, God wants us to bow low in a new way. He wants us to really have a new attitude of surrender to God. Prepare, get rid of clutter to make room. Consecration, bow low, bow low and surrender. Third word, dedication. Dedication and consecration are quite similar in the English language, but not in Hebraic understanding. You consecrate your life on the altar, but then you dedicate all your resources, your family, your home, your land. It's a two-stage. And often in our Western culture, we're not very good at dedication. We have been missionaries in Africa and India. I lived in other nations before I ever lived in the UK for 30 years. So my head is much happier. Oh, very, very happy to be seeing you. I'm an Indian girl. I'm an African preacher. I move. And at 30, I came home to England and I became terribly darling. But you see, all through Africa and India, every time you bought a car, in your Connect group or Life group or whatever, the car was put out the front, the whole Connect group laid hands on that car, dedicated that car for the services of God. Every time you bought a house, every time you got a new job, people from your life team would go to that desk, lay hands on it and pray for the soul. There's a dedication that every boundary and sphere of life that we have is dedicated to the services of God. And in both Britain and in America, we have become lazy because we say one nation under God. We have the foundation already. We don't need to dedicate. Oh, maybe we do. Because we can see, you know, buildings have been dedicated by the Masons. Buildings are now being dedicated by Muslim imams. What about us? We dedicate and set apart this place for the glory of God. Preparation, consecration, dedication. Fourth word is activation. Faith without works is... And we can have a lot of belief structures and a lot of vision and a lot of prophetic words, but unless we take them and write them in the earth, not just our journals. So it's preparation. Can you say it? Preparation, consecration, dedication, activation. And so the one I'm going to concentrate on with a Rachel nuance is the activation of prayer and presence. You see, if we're going to be in the right place, doing the right things at the right time, we need to be totally aligned with heaven on earth. And because it's so crazy, we often feel, I don't know what to do. Do you know what to do? It's like that little cartoon. What are you going to do? I don't know. What are you going to do? Do you feel like that? And to tell you the truth, even myself, a more prophetic, revelatory person, I haven't got a clue what to do. All I know, and I do know this, one step at a time. Stop, listen, download, do. Stop, listen, download, do. And he's not giving me a 5-year plan. He's giving me enough for today. Guess what? That is enough. Matthew 6. Do not worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow has a whole lot more trouble. No, God, it's quite enough. Thank you. Take care of today. Amen? So I want you even to break some of the prophetic expectation that says to really be good leaders in the marketplace, business place, community. I need to have my 5-year plan, my 3-year plan, my 1-year. How many know, I mean, I run some charity. How many know doing a detailed 5-year financial analytical plan is virtually impossible at the moment? Well, you can do it because we're trained for it, but a few months down the road, we're thinking, yeah, in the shredder. How many have done that? How many have panicked? Yes, Rachel has. And you're sitting with your board and they're saying, dunno. How many know it's really horrible feeling? But will we trust God? You see, I believe we're in a whole different season. It is time to build a house of prayer. In your business space, in your community space, God wants you to build a communication center. That's what I felt God say. Come on, Lewiston. Right across Idaho, Washington State, Oregon. I saw you together. Build a satellite, heaven satellite, download communication center for the wisdom of God in these days. And you're building this center, this communication center with God on behalf of others for the sake of Northwest pioneering America. Come on. They often say, shh, California, you lead the way. I have a feeling, actually, it's shifted north a bit. And there's something in the northwest of an entrepreneurial spirit to lead something. And you've led negatively. Can we lead positively? Shall we reverse the curse? Because it's in your DNA, because you've already shown you can do it. But we just need to get engaged and bring heaven to earth. I believe there's a new sense I'm carrying for you, a new sense that leaders pray. Whatever your sphere, in your business space, in your family space, in the church space, community space, if you have a responsibility to lead, please start by praying. We're going to win this battle on our knees, not with our brains. As we really get down and make a rhythm of prayer, more of a priority, something is going to break through. I don't know how many have seen it, but we landed in the US on the 16th of April, and we were in Spokane for a weekend. And there, several people came and said, have you seen The Great Awakening? How many have seen The Great Awakening? One, the movie. None. I would really... It is a movie that Angel Studios, etc., has just put out in commemoration for the 250 years of America. And, you know, May the 17th till July the 4th, you've got your 40 days. But they put this movie out. It's an Oxford to Washington or US movie because George Whitefield, who got born again, radically transformed. In fact, in the church where Gordon and Helen were their ministers for many years, he ran across into that church, encountered Holy Spirit. But as I watched it, it's called A Great Awakening. It's about 2 hours. I expect you can get it on the other programs. I'm probably not allowed to say them, but Netflix, etc. But it was worth watching because here I am, a Mish kid, preacher's kid, worked with Ryan at Bonker. I walked out after 2 hours and I thought, Rachel, you're lazy in talking about Jesus to the everyday person. It carries such an anointing to preach the gospel. It showed the whole relationship between George Whitefield and Benjamin Franklin and how he kept knocking on the door of that man. And that whole media machine. And I found myself, in fact, when the movie was finished, 2 people moved, everyone sat. It was a bit like Jesus' revolution moment again. And you could feel. You see, I believe God wants to bring a shift to the atmosphere by the preaching of the gospel. But I worked with D. Reinhard Bonnke, and he said, if you want to preach the gospel and get some mobility, put some water under the boat. That's called prayer. And you see, prayer and evangelism go together. First, talk to God about your neighbor before you talk to your neighbor about God. Begin to soak people in prayer. Begin to target them in a loving way to say, I believe you're going to find Jesus. I believe for a shift of atmosphere. I believe there is a harvest time coming to the Northwest, but we need the prayer underneath to give it some mobility. To soak the people so that when we speak to them, they're ready, their hearts are softened. So what does this prayer look like that will prepare the ground? Well, often in our more theological space, we call it intercession. So what is intercession? What is an intercessor? What is intercession? Well, Hebrews chapter 5, verse 35 talks about Jesus. We find this Hebrews 7:25. Next slide, I think. And it says, therefore, Jesus is able. Can you read it with me? 1, 2, 3. Therefore, Jesus is able to completely save those who come to God through him. Why? Because he lives. So you see, that salvation atmosphere is created in an intercession space. Jesus is ever living, interceding, and the harvest of that is people get saved. So quick definition of intercession. Someone in our church, a new believer, came and said, Rachel, you keep putting intercession Thursday, 5 o'clock. I'm new to the church and that would be a real great time for me to connect. But which intersection is it? And I said, no, it isn't intersection. She thought it was a spelling error. I said, it isn't intersection, it's intercession. She said, well, what's that? Let me tell you. I believe intercession is a prayer of generosity. It's a prayer you pray beyond your needs, beyond your knowledge, beyond even your interest. It's where God begins to say, pray for this. And you think, really? Yes. How many of you have been in that space or remember that space where God told you to pray for something and you thought, why? But once you began to feel the heart of God towards it. What is intercession? It is the prayer you give away. It is a prayer for other worlds, other needs. It is a prayer that stands in the gap on behalf of others. It is the prayer of Jesus. It is the prayer that the Holy Spirit directs, prompts, triggers in you, and is directed from the heart of God. It is a birthing prayer. You begin to make way. And most of us have a sort of, dear Jesus, if you're there, Jesus, help Jesus. Right now would be good. Need parking place, need money, sort the kids. Crisis prayer. Do you know what I mean? And that's okay. We're told to ask God and have a asking conversational prayer. But I believe God says, hey kids, time to grow up. I want you now to do the things you don't feel like doing. It's like when we get our own space. You have to wash the floor. Do I feel like it? Nah. Does it necessary? Yes. I have to do the laundry. Have to take out the trash. There's a whole lot of life because I'm in the family. And God says, come on, kingdom, family. I want you to do things that doesn't mean, oh, I feel the goosebumps and the glory on my glory. You maybe won't. But he's saying, will you pray? Isaiah 58, verse 10. Pass through the gates. Bit of effort. Prepare the way for the people. Build up the highway. Remove all the stones and raise the banner. And this banner in the Hebrew is Jehovah Nissi, the God of victory, the God of breakthrough, the God who says it is enough. Raise that banner for the nations. You see, that's intercession. Come on, press through some of those gates. Begin to prepare. You know, Isaiah 40, prepare a way for the people. Where? In the garden. No, in the wilderness. The wilderness is not the problem. The problem is the contractors to prepare the way. Will you sign up to say, yes, God, we're going to prepare a way. We're going to get on our knees. We're going to begin to cry out to God. We're going to build up a highway and say, God, come here. This is a landing space for you. We prepare a way for the Most High God. We say, every mountain bow low, every valley be raised up, every distraction, crooked place, come on, be straight, because we want a landing strip for the glory of God, and every man will see it. Isaiah 40, 3-5. You see, this is a time for breakthrough prayer. This is a time where we begin to get on our knees, and God then meets with us, speaks with us, and gives us a plan for the next season. God's saying, will you be Samuel, a listening generation. We've been a thinking generation. We've been an active generation. But if we go to the breakthrough in Israel, it started with a listening generation. The word of the Lord was rare for Samuel chapter 3:1. There was not much revelation. Eli the prophet, blind, etc. I've started earlier. You see, the landscape was not great, but in that landscape came a little boy. I think his age is significant, but I think his heart attitude is even more significant. It was a little boy. It was a boy like, I want to be a son of my father. I want to hang out in the presence of God. I want to minister to God. It was that lingering being in God's space. And then we read it in verse 10. And it says, and the Lord came and what? Stood there. Whoa, Selah, stop. And the Lord came and stood there. What I love about this story is dear Samuel had already tried on numerous attempts to connect and listen to God, and it hadn't gone too well. How many of you know that? And then finally God just comes. He came and stood there. Samuel. Okay, it's up. I get it. Will you linger with God long enough to even get through all your mess? So often I'm asked the question again and again and again. Rachel, how do you hear God? Can I just say this? I don't have a formula. There isn't a recipe. Put in a cup of flour, half cup butter, 2 eggs, mix it up, and God, da-da-da-da. I wish it were that easy. Do you get what I'm saying? How many of you would say you've heard the voice of God in totally different spaces and places? So there isn't a formula. But there is a practice. Do you get what I'm saying? The ancient mystics called it practice the presence of God. Will you slow down enough to practice, to create a space? You see, people of prayer will always become people of revelation. If you talk to God, guess what? God will talk to you. And it might take you a little time to log into the language. But I know in my knower that I know that I know. He does, and he will. But we have to practice the presence of God. I find that the way God speaks is different for every single person. Would you agree? But what's even more annoying is even to the same person, God changes the way he speaks. Would you agree? And you think, I've got this nailed. I know how to hear God. And then suddenly it's, where's God gone? God? Seriously? And God goes on mute. Ever had that? God, right now, I seriously need you to speak. And then the enemy comes in. God doesn't care. You're all alone. Make a plan. No, don't make a plan. Wait and download a plan. And you see, I believe we're in a season where God is saying, will you trust me? Trust. Trust me. All through scripture, there's this little refrain. Bend your ear, lean your ear, incline your ear. Do you know that? All through Psalms, especially. Psalm 78. Give me your ear, O my people. Incline your ears to my words. You see, I believe God is asking, come on, will you be a listening generation? Will you stop enough and position yourself so that you hear God? You see, I don't know how it will be for Jeremy, for Jessica, for Jackie, for Ryan, for Kevin, for Gordon, Helen, because actually we all tune in slightly differently. For me, find me a musician. As soon as I've got worship, I can hear God. We're different. Other people is, I need to walk and talk. other people is I need to sit. Shh. There's no rules. But there's a necessity. And so you see, I believe God is asking you, will you position yourself to upgrade your quality and ability to listen? God says to you, I'm wanting a new style of prayer that lingers, that is more reflective, that waits for instruction, doesn't just tell God what is necessary. And so, like Samuel, we learn to linger and listen. And finally, the Lord appears and Samuel hears him. And so, as I come in maybe and just, we have a pause. I feel this is what God wants to say to you this morning. Give me your ears. Give me your ears. You know, if we look at Revelation and the prophetic, we often have eyes and ears. In times of real chaos and complexity, guess what? You often can't see. The mist is low. But one of the last senses to go is hearing. Lighthouses. They blink, 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 blink. They shed the light. But in times of real storm and calamity, light is not enough. Ooh! The lighthouse hoots, makes a sound. Do you know what I mean? Probably not a very good. But those lighthouses, when they go, I mean, they, ooh! And we always think, lighthouses, blinkety blink, this little light of mine. But we're not just in a light season. Ooh, we can't see very clearly. The mist is low. Lots of complexity. But the prophetic is both eyes and ears. And God would ask you, can I have your ears? Will you tune in? In Leviticus chapter 8, we talked about intercession, the priests that stand in the gap. In Leviticus chapter 8, Moses was asked to dedicate the priesthood. What was the first thing they dedicated? The ears. They shed the blood and they picked up the blood. And the blood was first put on the ear. Then on the hands to serve. Then on the feet to go. And God says, come on, precious church, can I have your ears? I want to upgrade your listening skills. You see, God wants us to press through the awkward moment. How many of you know what I'm talking about? God, speak to me. Please speak to me. Nothing. I knew God wouldn't. Yes, maybe he did. No, I don't know. I'm not. We've got to press through the awkward silence. And we've also got to press through the busy white noise. Did you turn the washer on? Where's your mobile phone? Is that the kids calling? Was that a text? How many of you know? And it's amazing how when we still down and say, God, I want to listen. We've got to learn to press through white noise and the awkward silence. In our church, and we were pretty Sunday morning, full on, intense, high octane, 10, 9, 8, 7, welcome to church type. And it's really interesting, Gavin, our worship leader, the other morning, just leading worship, and he just brought the keys down and paused. And he lingered until it was awkward. There was a little girl of 5 sitting just behind me. She goes, Mummy, music is broken. And the whole, we're about 4:50, the whole thing just nervously chuckled because they were all thinking the same thing. what's happened? And they lingered. And they lingered. I looked around, people began to cry. Because we managed to have the courage to push through awkward, to listen. I believe we've got to learn to do that in the personal space and in the corporate space. Because he who is coming will come. Come on, he who is coming will come. He will not delay. And even if it feels slow, as some understand slowness, he will come. Finders, seekers are always finders, sorry. Askers are always receivers. Knockers that knock on that door of life will always have it open. But how important? I've got a plan. No, God's got a plan. I need to go. God says, wait. Are we going to have the courageous insanity that will be still long enough to really download the faith? Faith comes by hearing a message, conversation. I really, really, really do believe that as we learn to practice the presence of God, we're going to be blown away. Because God is a speaking God. So should we just be still for a little moment? Just find a space however you're comfortable. If you want to get off your chairs and think, you do what you ever want to do, you're adults. But we, you know, for some of us there's like, I need to do this to hear. That's perfect, fine. But I want to give you some time to linger. If you want your notepad or your phone, think, no one's going to judge you. But listen to God how you do. If you need to write it down, write it down. But just be still and know he is your God. And he speaks to you.